Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wei. I'm a grad student at UW-Madison. Today, I'm going to present our group's work, Understanding the Interleaving Space Overlap Across Inputs and Software Versions. It's a joint work by my colleagues Dong Dong, Borui, Payson, and my advisor, Xiang Lu. Okay. After the previous two talks, I hope that you are convinced that concurrency bugs is a big problem because they have caused severe real-world damages. For example, the 2003 Northeast blackout, and most recently, the NASDAQ stock change failure during Facebook's IPO. And in Junfeng's talk, he also talked about how the concurrency errors could lead to security holes. But unfortunately, the problem of concurrency bugs is just getting worse because there are more and more multi-core machines and more concurrent programs. A lot of concurrency bug detection tools have been proposed. Unfortunately, it's very expensive. It's very typical that a data race detector could incur 10 to 200 times slowdown just for testing one input because the interleaving space is just too huge to explore. But also remember that the software companies also have to test more than one input, usually many test inputs before release a software, new software. And to make things even worse, the software company keeps pushing new version of softwares. So we have, whenever a new version of software is introduced, we have to test all those inputs again. Lots of previous work has tried to solve this problem by speeding up on concurrency bug detection under each input. And today, let's see how we can speed up the whole process by identifying and removing redundant checking across inputs and also across software versions. So first, let's look at example to see what I mean by redundant bug detection. We try to detect bug data races in Mozilla JavaScript engine. In this example, we took eight JavaScript test cases from the developer side. And we applied Halgrind, a widely used race detector, to test the program. And under the first test case, race detector incurs like over 10 times slowdown, but it's good because we found a severe data race bug, which basically could cause program to crash. And for the second test case, after the 10 times slowdown, we found the exactly same bug again. And we applied the data race detection to the rest of six test cases. The results are the same, because each time it gives us exactly the same harmful data race. So clearly, there's some redundant checking conducted again and again for each testing input. So if we think about it, this redundancy is understandable because test inputs are designed to extend the code path coverage. And for example, under input one, this purple path covers this code path. And under the second input, because we want to try other branches, so this golden path, path covers another code path. This inevitably covers some identical code region. And for example, they have to trace the same memory accesses and also the same synchronization operations along the code path. Repeatedly analyzing the same operations will cause a waste in the exploration of the interleaving space. So here it looks like there's a good opportunity for optimization. If somehow we have the knowledge about the redundancy across different inputs, and we can direct this knowledge to the expensive bug detection so that it only covers the untested code path for each input, then it seems that we can achieve good speed up. However, we have a problem here because without doing the very expensive interleaving analysis, how can we get this knowledge that each input is leaving interleaving space looks like and how it could overlap with other inputs interleaving space. So here's our proposal. So if we can somehow figure out a crystal ball and we can just shout out all our test inputs to this crystal ball and it can approximate us some information about the interleaving space, and then using that information, we can feed that to a bug detection tool, and then somehow we can get some speed up. So here are the contributions of this work. First, in order to understand the interleaving space overlap among different inputs and software versions, we conducted a characteristic study. Second, guided by this characteristic study, we found a good metric CFP, which stands for concurrent function pairs, I will talk about later, that this good metrics can be measured using lightweight analysis. And using that, we can also guide our data risk detection and significantly improve our risk detection efficiency. And also we found out the same idea can be applied to regression tests. Here's the outline of my presentation. I've already talked about why we are doing this and what are the challenges. And next I'm going to talk about the chaotic study we did to share our experience in learning the interleaving space overlap. Then I will discuss our metric CFP in more details and explain how to apply it to speed up data risk detection. Next, I will show some numbers to validate my claims. And finally, I will conclude and discuss some future work. So first, let me describe how we did our chaotic study. We chose five C, C++ benchmarks that have been widely used in concurrency bug detection research literature. Second, for each benchmark, we take the test inputs either directly from the developers if they are available. If they are not available, we try to design it by exploring different combinations of input options. So finally, we quantitate the interleaving space overlap by looking at the overlap of concurrency bug detection results. We use both data risk detector and atomistic violation detector, and we examine the overlap across inputs and also across different software versions. So we try to first look at the harmful data risk. The harmful data risk meaning that those data risks can actually cause program to either fail or to lead some unwanted program behavior. Let's look at the first example. The first benchmark we tried is a PPZIP. And under the first input, the risk detectors tell us there are 8 harmful data risks. And then we continue to apply our data risk detection to other 7 inputs. At the end, we totally found 8 harmful risks, and they are exactly the same ones detected under the first input, and each of these 8 risks are reported by 4 different inputs. So in the following presentation, I will use different level of grayness to represent how many inputs can report the same bug. So in this case, the light gray means a risk can be reported by 2 to 4 inputs. And we see the similar trends in other applications. For example, the most harmful data risks in Mozilla are reported by all 8 inputs. And we represent 8 inputs using these black bars. And we also check all the data risk reports. So this time, it doesn't only include the harmful data risks, but also the benign data risks to see what the redundancy looks like. Here again, we can see almost all the risks in PPZIP2 and Mozilla can be exposed by more than one input. And only these 2 tiny white bars represent the bug that can be only reported by one input. And in Mozilla's case, we can see that many bugs can be detected by almost all inputs. We also did a similar chaotic study over other applications, which shows the same trend. And the third chaotic study we did is to examine, we examined the harmful atomistic violation, and for each harmful atomistic violation, how many inputs can detect it. So I'm using the same graphical representation here. As we can see, there are a lot of gray bars and black bars, which means the bug detection results the bug detection result redundancy is quite high. The fourth characteristic study we did is for the redundancy of atomistic violation. Again, it includes both benign atomistic violation and harmful atomistic violation. And once again, we see lots of redundancy here. So a short summary here. This table shows the average number of inputs that can expose the same bug. As we can see, the number goes all the way from 2.19 to 6.67 out of 8 inputs. So apparently our goal is that we can define a more efficient cross-input concurrency bug detection framework so that there's, a minimal redundant analysis across inputs in the sense that each bug can be reported by, each bug report can be generated exactly once. And next, let me tell you how we achieve this goal. Recall that, I mentioned earlier, our multi-input data risk detection will include three steps. In the first step, we'll design a metric that can characterize the interleaving space of each input with very little overhead. And this metric serves as our crystal ball. In the second step, based on the results from the first step, we will figure out a testing plan, selecting inputs and also the code regions to avoid repeatedly analyzing them. In the third step, based on the result from the second step, we could conduct very expensive data race detections, but only for the selected code regions and the selected inputs. And now let me explain each single step in details. So first, let's look at the first step, or the CFP metric. Figuring out which data rates will be exposed by each input is quite expensive because it requires monitoring a lot of memory accesses and synchronization operations. Here I'm using the blue circles to represent the shared memory accesses, and right and green circles are the related synchronization operations. However, if we look at a more coarse granularity, namely at the level of function, then it will be much lighter weight. So this is our metric, CFP or concurrent function pair, that is a set of function pairs that can be potentially executed with each other. And how do we get CFP? To collect the CFP, we will instrument function entries and function exits and synchronization operations. And then we conduct trace analysis on top of it. So we treat every function entry and exit as the right to shared memory, at the right to the same shared memory variable, and then we use a hybrid version of happen before and lockset algorithm to detect the receive functions from this trace. And when we have CFP, we want to design our multi-input testing to minimize redundant interleaving analysis. So we select inputs and functions so that we don't have to explore the same CFP again. We could try to minimize the number of inputs to cover all the function pairs, concurrent function pairs, but that is a NP-hard problem. So we just used a simple greedy algorithm. I'll show example here. Let's suppose we have three inputs and their concurrent function pairs are already detected. And we first pick up the input that will cover the most pairs. So in this case, that will be input one. So we are going to monitor all the related functions for input one. And for the remaining inputs, we are going to select the input with the most uncovered function pairs. So in this case, that will be input two. And again, we are going to monitor these functions. And in this example, as we can see, input three will not have any concurrent function pair that have not been explored by input one and input two. So in this case, we can ignore input three. And at the end of the last step, we already have a sense of what are the functions and what are the inputs that we want to monitor. So in the third step, it's the CFP-based risk detection. We feed the testing plan to a risk detector so that we only do the data risk detection on the select functions for the selected inputs. Again, the risk detection algorithm we use is a hybrid version of happened before and Luxset. So here's the methodology for our CFP-based risk detection. We implemented CFP detection in LLVM, and we use and we implemented input function selection in C++. And finally, the data risk detector is based on PIN. So guided by CFP, we selected 1 to 7 inputs for each application. And for each test input, we also select certain code regions to monitor. Because of this, much fewer memory accesses are monitored. And we can see the reduction in lock size range from 33% to 94%. So that saves a lot of space. And then I'm going to show some numbers to evaluate whether this approach is indeed effective. So the first key factor is, apparently this is not a sound analysis. Will we miss some real harmful data risk? And for the 5 benchmarks that we studied, the answer is no, that we didn't really miss any real bug, any real harmful bug. And the second key factor is how much redundancy have we reduced? Or in other words, have we avoided redundant interleaving space? Have we increased the number of inputs that report the same bug? So this table records the number of inputs that expose the same bug before we apply our technique. And this table shows the number of inputs that expose the same bug using our technique. And we can see even in some good cases like AGAT and FFT, we achieve our perfect goal. That is, we expose one unique bug using one unique input. And of course, the final key factor is how much time did we save? Because we want to speed up the risk detection. We calculate the speed up in the following way. We first measure the baseline using the traditional approach, that is, apply full data risk detection using all test inputs. Then we measure the time used by our approach, which consists of the three steps I discussed before, so it's a fair comparison. As we can see, the speed up generally is larger than one, and in some good cases, it can get as high as 7 times. And lastly, we also studied how interleaving space overlaps across software versions. So we studied a particular software called AGAT. It's a parallel file downloading program. And in the first version of AGAT, it had one data race. It's a benign data race. The second version of AGAT inherited the first version's data race. And the third version introduced some big changes to the code. It magically removed that data race that appeared in the first two versions, but introduced another 3 data races. In the fourth version, it inherited the same 3 data races and also introduced 3 new data races. In the fifth version, it has the same set of data races as in the fourth version. And a harmful data race was introduced in the fourth version, basically because there was a new global variable, namely the bitrate, introduced, and some recent memory accesses were inserted in the code regions I show here. As we can see, there's a significant interleaving space overlap across different across different software versions. When we test a new version of software, it will help us a lot if we could somehow reuse the testing result from the last version. To conclude, in this paper, we find that interleaving space are often redundant across inputs and software versions. And we come up with a good metric, namely CFP, to identify such redundancy. And based on CFP, we designed a data risk detector to speed up data risk detection. And we find CFP can be extended to speed up regression testing as well. So let me talk about some of our future work. First, we want to apply CFP to detect other types of bugs, such as atomistic violation or order violation bugs. And we also want to do some pre-processing to get more accurate CFP. For example, we can do some escape analysis to remove all the functions that won't touch shared variables. Also, we want to try to use some different heuristics under different testing budget. Let's say, what if we don't want to cover 100% of the concurrent function pairs, but rather 95% of them, and how would the risk detection result look like? And finally, we also want to explore different coverage metrics. So the functional level granularity might not be the best one. We could try other levels, such as basic blocks or mixture of other levels. Now it comes to the end of this talk, and thank you very much.
Thank you.